Je n'avais jamais ôté mon chapeau devant personne. Maintenant je rampe et je fais le beau quand elle me sonne. J'étais chien méchant, elle me fait manger dans sa menette. J'avais des dents de loup, je les ai changées pour des quenottes.
Well, welcome back to all of the listeners, to the Yamas, creating harmony in our daily life. This is the fifth of the Yamas. And they show us how to, in many ways, manage our relationships with ourselves, with others, and with the world around us. And I found through them that we can transform ourselves and bring about a richness in our goals, both without and our goals within. Today's Yama is a paragraha. What a fascinating sound and word. It's a Sanskrit word, and in a lot of these words, they explain what it means. They break up the words, so you have an insight that it's a mixture of words that come together. A paragraha, A-P-A-R-I-G-R-A-H-A. But it's actually three different meanings. Now, graha means in Sanskrit to grasp. Pari, P-A-R-I, in the middle of the word, means things, to grasp things. But the A in the front, a paragraha, means to not grasp, to not be possessive. All right, let's meander through this. I've gone to the what it is, and then we'll meander to into the why does it help us, and then what we can do about it. So a paragraha, it helps us to achieve a balanced relationship with the things that we would otherwise call mine. Sorry, that's mine. And we do it when we're little children, but not so helpful when we do it when we become adult to ourselves. But this can be a tough sell in our consumer culture. When, you know, accumulation, have things, buy what you want, get what you want that now. But freedom from wanting all the time, more and more, is just that. It's just freedom. Our relationship with objects in the world changes when we become their owner, as we think. Look, the transition's subtle, because we all have interests and desires and things we save money for or hope to achieve. But it is easy to tell if the process has gone a little bit haywire and we own it, don't come near it, it's mine. Often we take better care of our own objects than we would if we had to look after somebody else's. Our possession is more worthy. Or we're unwilling to share what we already have enough of. Or we acquire more of something than we can truly use. It's fun for a minute. We've got it. And then it sits there. The sheer number of our possessions can encumber us. In other words, we can over-identify with our possessions, obtaining them, holding on, mourning them if we lose them. Then what we need is the awareness of a paragraha, not possessing. There is a yogic maxim that makes the point clear. all the things of the world, it says, are yours to use wisely. But let's not own them. That's the essence of paragraha. Whenever we become possessive, we are in turn possessed, anxiously holding on to our things, perhaps grasping for more. On the other hand, when we make good use of the things that we have that come to us, and we truly enjoy them and share them with others without becoming too emotionally dependent on them, then they neither wield power over us, or do they lead false identities and expectations. Now, I'm going to move straight away to one little topic and then move back again to possessions. You know, in relationship, we want them to be healthy, but we all have our intensities. All I'm going to say here, because we can talk about it in other seminars, is the practice of not possessioning is to examine our assumptions and be guided by back to the knowledge that even though we cannot own people, and we need not own people, should not, we can establish a healthy and such a productive relationship with them. So we work to have evil, even care and evenness. So a paragraha, non-attachment, non-possessiveness, non-grasping, non-clinging. It's the awareness that we have abundance and fulfillment of just what's appropriate for us, just what we can use wisely. We can look at other things, but how long are we going to use them for? You know, we want more time. We've not had enough sleep. We need more money. Yet a lot of the time our resources are sufficient for our inner strength, for our community and ourselves. I want to bring in a word here that I'm going through at the moment. I've always been trained to embrace in the yamas and niyamas and although the other information in yogic training. And it's the word akash. Akash means space. It could mean the sky, to look up at the expanse of the sky. That brings us warmth and sunshine and rain and wind. But we always know that the blue sky is there somewhere in the world. So for me, although I've needed to look at a paragraha every year of my life and in my training, there's also for me then, when I work with a paragraha, and I'm doing that right now in my life, there's a sense that gives me spaciousness. And that helps my emotions, my thoughts, my nature, and how I work with things. In one of the other stories that I was looking at, it says here, a paragraha engages us to cultivate in ourselves the capacity to recognize this fact and to live more simply while turning our minds away from constant self-absorption and turning them back into what is essential for the deepness of our joy and happiness for ourselves and others. This is the essence of the yamas and niyamas. The marga, they call it, is the path you're turning back to when you know you don't need that thing, you don't need to have another three of those things, you're tempted. You think of the path that will keep you balanced and not let you go into overload. And then the other side of it is seva, service. Can we use our energies not just to gain always for ourselves, gathering, gathering, buying, buying, but to serve people. And there's many ways we can do that. So with such clarity on this, we can easily see that we can simply turn our gaze and turn it towards things that are non-clinging not possessive. They are there for us to use wisely. I'm now taking from the Yoga Journal and the Yoga Sutras, where they write, a parigraha is the decision to not hoard or accumulate goods through greed, but rather to develop an attitude of using them to serve the world around us. So before you bring anything into your home, perhaps, and I've done this, I have to ask myself, do I need this for the role in my life? Haven't I got enough clothes? Do I really need this? As a parent or as a spiritual seeker? Or am I just accumulating stuff out of my own needs, greeds or fear? Now, if you don't consider these questions, which is why I teach the yamas and niyamas, and people say to me constantly, they're wonderful to have in my awareness box. If you don't consider these questions, your possessions can take over. Once you get so much stuff, you have to take care of it and or defend it. You start to get so attached to it and you begin to identify with it. It's easy to think that you and your stuff is all there is and it mustn't be given to anyone else. But the idea is, let it go. Let some of it go. Or don't accumulate it at all. If our homes are filled with old junk that doesn't apply to us anymore, there's no room for new energy to come in. That holds true for the non-material ideas and even our attitudes that we cling to. So if you're like me, sometimes hang on to old beliefs about yourself or others, then sometimes just breathe and let it go. To invite a parigraha, try a simple practice. Just look at what you might have, that you don't need more and more of it to feel that you have enough for the moment. I have more to read, and I'm going to open up the book that I work from this year, The Yamas and Niyamas by Deborah Adele, you know that. And I'm going to go to some pages which I've already marked, and I'm mostly going to say short stories or poems, just little sayings. So here on page 91, a parigraha invites us to let go and to pack lightly for our journey through our life, but all the while caring deeply and enjoying all those things fully without us being on overload. So it says here, what we try to possess possesses us. Let's just take a breath. And I'm going to move over to another page that says to us, thinking of what is it? People might think that if I say non-attachment, that we don't care, not only for things, but what about loved ones and relationships? The poem here says non-attachment does not mean that we don't care. In fact, non-attachment frees us up to be immersed in appreciation of life and one another. And it doesn't mean that we somehow have to shut ourselves off from the pleasures and joys of life and each other and things. It just asks that we don't cling to a thing or the enjoyment of anything. Let go of the ownership. Let it go that it's just life, and life can be a banquet of things. But like the breath, if we hold on to it too long, it becomes toxic for our body. So like the breath, we're invited to breathe in deeply, enjoying the fullness of our inhalation to nourish and feed us. and then to simply let go just as deeply and fully, enjoying the release of the exhale, which takes away junk, stuff, toxins, and tensions. The more breath we let go of, the more there is for our body to fully inhale. And the more we generously share and give away, the more expansive and light we become. And the journey of life is towards our freedom. That was the what. If I took you into the why, and I open up my pages, why would we do it? Why might it help us? What does this all mean? Well, the why could be that it just reminds us that everything changes. There is a sense that nothing stays the same. And even if we fall back to the awareness of our breath, there is an impermanence in our inhale. And there's an impermanence on our exhale. We can feel the belly rise and fall. Like the breath, if we hold it for too long, we're not in good health. So anything we cling to also creates a maintenance problem. And if we've got so much, it collects dust, gets rusted. We haven't got the time to look after it, let alone enjoy it. How amazing that this word that sounds rather heavy and constraining us in and not letting us do what we want and buy what we want is actually space and giving us freedom. In another one of her short sayings, she says, she questions, she asks us, how many suitcases full of expectations, tasks, plans, resentments, unforgiven moments, how many suitcases of things to be cleaned and looked after and improved are we toting around with us every day, every week? Before I go on to the last one, this is my time to do a big clean out. For me, it's 50 years of seminars, teaching and training. But I'm cleaning out, and it's quite emotional. And I've put it off and accumulated, and now it's time to create space. Because if I don't, and I don't honour the things of my mothers, the things of my dads and things of my daughters, and the journey that my life has taken me till now, I don't have the space to write my book, and I've started. So I want to leave a very simple footprint, and thinking about Akash, space, and having the courage to do it has led me on just a simply lovely part of my journey. I'm heading to another page. A lot to digest today, isn't there? All right. Here we are, 98. I've given you a chance to take a breath while I have too. 98, we've done that one. So a bird cannot hold its perch and fly. Neither can we grasp anything and be free. Enjoy things. Love the journey with them. But leave space in between. My next podcast after this today is just that. I'm entering into a few podcasts to really answer the questions of many people that write in and ask for my guidance or my help for lots of things in their life. But there is at this time anxiety, stress, irritability, fear, high blood pressure, boredom. So you know that my journey throughout my life for you is teaching you both on a very light introductory scale and then deeper learning as we go along of how to improve the capacity of your breath that helps the capacity of the areas of your brain for mental ease and mental conditioning, down into your nervous system and your body for less stress through the nervous system and your organs. And so I will now begin to guide you and share with you some podcasts on breathing and relaxation. So here are the guidelines for today before we finish. Maybe you can repeat these to yourself and listen again. Number one, pay attention this week, would you, to the simple act of improving your inhalation. And I'll be guiding you with that. Pay attention to your breath all through the day. Breathe in life without the need to hold on and then let it go. And maybe you can journal your observations if you're needing to look after yourself. And reach out to me if you need more. Have a look around and see what physical things make up your life. What surrounds you? Are you free and light? Or do they have heaviness and heaviness and holding on for you? You know, while you know you cling to them, they cling to you. And I would love you to be free and have some akash, some space of the things that you don't need. Notice about expectations on people and things. You know, sometimes we don't realize, but we expect. And we're disappointed. We feel that we haven't been heard or listened to, and we're often disgruntled. Step back and do your breathing, and know that you are enough, you have enough, and to be still, and that which is for you will come to you. And there's one more. Krishna Das makes the observation that in the Western culture, maybe, we have a muscle in the mind that we forget is there. He calls it the letting go muscle. We've forgotten about it. He says we have a very developed and strong holding on muscle in the mind. But the letting go muscle is a wee bit underdeveloped. So he suggests we get breathing in shape for that muscle. Practice with little things that we're prepared to let go of until bigger things come along. Notice where you cling to. Notice your emotions and thoughts and breathe. And let the letting go muscle have some exercise and work for you. Some of you have been telling me that this isn't just a once, that you go back and listen to this. Because when I'm training, we use one of these a week and we use the thought of them. You know, each week. So ahimsa, that first week, we thought about ahimsa. Then asteya, and then satya, and then brahmacharya. Now this week, finishing off the yamas, could you consider a paragraha? The yamas are like a GPS. They just guide us. They're instructions that we can pause and perhaps move in another direction. And that will help us. But the same is going to go now as we go into the niyamas. And there's another whole focus on wonderful things in the niyamas that give us joy and support us all the way. So until next week, while I'm cleaning out and starting to write my book, and being grateful for Akash, the sky, space. May I offer you the same. And until next week, take good care. Bye for now.
S'il faut se pendre.